Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation about the topic of divorce. We're trying to help you have hope, learn from our personal experiences. Lisa Good is with me again today. I want to encourage you, if you missed yesterday's program, as we kind of got things started with the topic of, hey, I found out somebody doesn't love me anymore, and I'm divorced. And we just kind of talked about just all the emotions, the mental aspects you go through, kind of the out-of-body experience. So if you missed that, or you know somebody could be blessed, encouraged by that, make sure you check out our website. You can go to hopeishere.today. All those 14-minute podcasts that we've done, both yesterday's first program on divorce, and then we talked about marriage last week and what a godly marriage is and things, all the aspects of marriage, the problems, how you can save your marriage, how you can get healing. And so just go to hopeishere.today, a plethora of topics that can help give you hope no matter what pain or suffering that you have been in. Well, Lisa, today let's talk about, you know, you hear this, there's the five stages of grief when you go through a major heartache, you know, a death. And the fact of the matter is that divorce is a death, right?
It is. It's like a coffin that never closes, because you have to continue to experience the pain over and over when you, in the beginning, especially when you're, you know, changing your children back and forth with the spouse, the ex-spouse, and you have to talk to them or co-parent with them. It's like you're repeating the same pain over again. And you just feel like you're not good enough, that you feel like that you'll never get through this. And the heartache is just, it's unexplainable sometimes. It's just, you're in a nervous breakdown stage. You just don't know where to turn. And then when you know that God's there for you, you just kind of lean on Him the most and pray for the hope that He has for you in the future.
Well, that's what we're wanting to do, is that there is hope. Yet those five stages, the first one, shock and denial. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. And I can remember the first time that somebody asked about, you know, which then had become my ex-wife, and or former spouse is probably a nicer way to say it. And I just, you know, said, well, we're actually not together anymore. And, you know, we're, I stuttered when I went to say the word divorce. And do you relate to that? Does that make sense to you when you're going through that initial stage of it? And this is like your new reality?
Yeah, and it's just something we never expect. You know, we think we're doing everything the right way. We think we're, you know, the stay-at-home mom, taking care of the house, taking care of the kids. And there we talked about the five love languages. You know, it's like I'm sitting there doing what I think is right, is best for him, but there was something that he was not getting from me and that I was not getting from him. And when we're not on the same page, it's just a vicious cycle that just keeps repeating over and over again. And then when that finally, the D word comes in there, you're just totally, you know, dumbfounded in a sense that you don't know what's going on or how you got there till you go back and repeat it or go over what happened. And then you kind of understand why you were where you were, because God wasn't in that marriage. And when you pray for God to help you in your marriage and He wasn't there in your marriage in the first place, it's hard for Him to heal your marriage if He wasn't there in the beginning.
Well, that's a great point. And I think that makes me want to share, just kind of had a prompting here that, you know, a lot of people, it's culturally acceptable here in the South, in Kentucky, to say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, I believe in God. But it's one thing to say you're a Christian, it's another when you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you spend time with Him on a frequent basis, you attend church regularly, you're part of your church's life and growing spiritually inside. And as I heard Wayne Smith say one time, it's one thing to say you love America and sing the Star Spangled Banner, it's another to enlist in the military. And
that's
yet,
right.
You know, I know that I have seen over and over, both personally and through years of counseling other couples, Lisa, that, you know, you really need to make sure before you get married, if somebody calls themselves a follower of Jesus, to see, you know, what are the aspects of their life? What is the fruit? You know, what is, you know, I hate to use this word like your person's on trial, but it's true. Is there enough evidence to say, yes, you know, you're guilty of being a follower of Jesus? Is that accurate?
It does, because when you meet someone, sometimes they're just trying to impress you. and they're not the same person they are when you marry them as they were beforehand. So a lot of times people get married so fast that that person, the true character of that person, isn't shown until after the marriage is final. And we need to learn to behave the way we believe. Because if we believe that we're Christians, then behaving in that manner is not the way we're supposed to act, because that's not a godly way. And making godly decisions helps us to not have the consequences. When we choose manly decisions, then they are that we suffer the consequences and the pain afterwards.
Well, speaking of pain, you know, the next phase when you go through a loss, a grief, a, you know, divorce, one of the best descriptions I heard is that, you know, the person, obviously the marriage is dead, but that person's still alive.
Right, right.
And if you have children, you still have to have contact with mm-hmm. them. You have that from your background. I do not, and yet, you know, I would have loved to have children. And, you know, speaking of anger, I think that's the thing that made me really angry after my second divorce, was because I thought, you know, wow, this was my chance to have children. And, you know, had done some foster parenting, and yet part of the anger, I think, is, and you share with a little bit, it's kind of the dream that you had, the expectation that you had, you realize, you know, man, life is not going to be as I had it planned.
That's right. And, you know, Jesus tells us that this life is not going to be all peaches and cream. You know, there are going to be trials, there are going to be tribulations and things that we're going to go through. And I think when he puts us through these trials, it's a matter of bringing us closer to him. You know, I was just searching for the love of my husband so much, and so desperately wanting him to love me, that I wasn't accepting the love that God already had for me. And that love for my ex that I was wanting was keeping me in having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So he had a different path for me to go on, and he didn't answer my prayers. When God says no, he's got a better plan for you.
And I think that's, you know, brings up again, I try to say it, I think earlier, maybe yesterday, but I don't think I said it the way I wanted to. If you're looking for somebody, we talked about expectations, but when you're looking for somebody else to completely fulfill you, and I used to love the movie Jerry Maguire, you know, there's a scene on the elevator where the person does sign language, and Renee Zellweger tells Tom Cruise, because he says, what are they saying? He's saying, you complete me. And we talked about this yesterday in our first program about how the movies, everything looks
right.
So wonderful and perfect, mm-hmm. and there's plenty of money in the bank, and everybody's healthy, and nobody's, you know, got any major challenges. But, you know, it's just not reality. And so when you look for somebody else to totally complete you, you're set up for failure, aren't you?
You sure are. And the only one that completes us is God, and that's the only thing that's going to complete fill the void in our heart. And like I said before, we just keep searching for that happiness, and it's just a vicious cycle that you'll never be happy and content in who you are unless you know who you are in Jesus Christ.
I think another part of my anger, people know on this program, I'm pretty transparent, is I embarrassed to admit this as a pastor for 15 years now, but you know, my pride was hurt. I mean, you know, I'd say that I was divorced. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's a failure. And my pride, my mom and dad stayed together through 52 years of marriage, and they had their ups and downs, but they stayed through it. And my dad didn't even become a follower of Jesus until he was 50, but thankful that I had a mom that hung in there, and my dad was transformed. But I realized, man, I've got a lot of pride, so I'm angry because I have to tell people I'm divorced.
And it does. It feels like a slap in the face, you know, and you want to do what you can to seek revenge on that person. But Jesus tells us that, you know, the revenge is mine, and we don't need to seek revenge because that's his job, not ours. And seeking revenge is only hurtful to ourselves.
That's good. That's really good. You know, one of the things about with the anger, and I talk about my pride, you always think that people know, and, you know, you think everybody knows I'm divorced, and, you know, you feel like a loser and so forth at that beginning phase. Yet, I realized, got humbled about a year after I'd been divorced, a lady came up to me at church one Sunday and said, you know, I hadn't seen your wife in forever, and I just was asking somebody, and they just said, well, they went, you know, through a divorce, and she said, I am so sorry. And, you know, it just came to me, wow, been over a year, yet I thought everybody knew. Here was a person that was a frequent attender that, you know, saw every Sunday, yet they hadn't, and they hadn't heard anything. But Satan uses that, those type of lies, doesn't he, to make you angry and hurt and even pour a little more salt on the wound of divorce. Have you found that?
Yes, and, you know, even just people around you, family and friends, and you hear people say, well, they're not over their divorce yet. I can't believe they're not over their divorce yet. And everybody has their own way of getting through things, getting over things. It's not like a snap at the finger where you need to get over it, you need to get over it. But, you know, people need to pray for people like that, and not enough people do that for their friends and family. And that's what gets you through. And like you said, Satan does, he tries to make us feel like we're not worthy, we're not good enough. And he wants us to seek the revenge. He wants us to take the bad road down there. But, you know, I took the high road, and you need to just take the high road to do what God wants you to do and not what you'd want to do.
Well, that's a great point, because it can get ugly in divorce settlements and things. And I do want to echo what Lisa says. If you honor God, I've seen it happen over and over again through divorce situations, he will honor you. So I want to encourage you to do that. And, you know, as we're sharing about the shock and denial, the anger, one of the things is that we want to bring you hope through divorce. And I'm going to share a scripture, then ask Lisa to share one that really helped me, because both of us chose to draw closer to God. James 4:6 says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. And so don't buy into the lie that God doesn't care, or he doesn't hurt, or he doesn't know that you're divorced. And, you know, one of the great lies is that God hates divorced people, and we're going to talk about that some in one of our programs. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says God hates divorce, not divorced people. And the reason he hates divorce is because what it does to us and to others that love us and our families. And so the verse that I would share when I went to see a Christian counselor, he just told me, start reading the book of Psalms. And when you go to bed at night, and, you know, if you read 10 verses or you read 3 chapters, just read those. And if you cry yourself to sleep, that's okay. And I did do that. In the first couple weeks, I did cry myself to sleep each night. But there was one psalm that really spoke to me, and it's become kind of a life verse for me. And that's Psalm 28:7. And it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you, Lord, and I am helped. And I had that on a post-it note, and I put it in my bathroom mirror. So I saw it in the morning. I put it in the dashboard of my car. I had it inside my wallet. I just needed that, because I was so weak. So he was my strength. I needed to be my protector. He was my shield. And as I looked and cried out to him, you know, it says, you are help. So Psalm 28:7 might be a verse today for you if you're really hurting. Lisa, what about you? What's a verse, that scripture that helped you?
Well, I like to go with Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all you need. Even though I was going through adversity and affliction, feeling lost, God's whisper in my ear with divine guidance telling me where to go and what to do. Nothing is too small for God. You know, he can help us through anything we need to go through, and the tough times will shape our lives, and it tests our faith, and perseveres under trials. He has a purpose for everything. And once we realize that purpose, then we can, you know, get through and manage a lot better.
Well, another verse that, you know, it's not geared just for divorces, but I saw it happen when I went through the flood that a lot of our listeners know about many years ago, that put me $2 million in debt overnight. And Romans 8:28, my hero Wayne Smith sent me in a letter, and I'd heard him use it before on Sunday mornings. And but Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, as Lisa talked about. And, you know, I've just been reminded so many times that first word doesn't say some things or most things. It says all things. So if you're going through a divorce, if you've been through a divorce, I want to encourage you that it will work out if you will keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay with us tomorrow as Lisa Good and I will continue to talk about the topic of divorce and how you can find hope. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.